must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Protected by the good Lord and a gun, and you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Now our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew and fry everything out here.
All good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
Nobody will stand with you if you don't stand. God can't stand with you if you don't stand. And don't stand and then sit down. It's worse. It sets a precedent. You know, count the cost. The cost may be dear. It may be everything. It may be your life. Okay? But unless we're willing to value freedom more than our lives, do we really deserve freedom? God can't stand with a man until the man stands. And so God is waiting for us to stand. And at that moment, that when he stands, God could stand with him. And then the other thing is that people could stand with him. You know, nobody can stand with you until you stand.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, and here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 20th of April, and it's a Wednesday. Obviously, Amy was not on earlier, Wednesdays is her night. Actually, she's having a couple of nights off. She's changing things around a little bit. Monday nights now may be... she is certainly going to do pre-records for Monday night. We just have too much going on, and it's just becoming... it's just hard to get in here five nights a week. She's still going to... Her schedule is going to be the same. Nothing's changing. Except for the fact that she's going to do pre-records. It'll be current new stuff coming on, but she won't be able to interact on the chat room because she'll be doing something family-related, like fixing dinner or something, and won't be on the chat. And I think that I, likewise, are going to do some, start doing some pre-records, maybe not all the time, but I'm going to start doing some on Mondays also. But the schedule's not going to change. Nothing's going to change at all, except that we won't see our smiling faces in here on Monday nights as often. So Amy will still be on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and I'll be on five nights a week as normal. I just won't be live all the time on Monday. So that's the way it's going to be for a little while. Class coming up this coming Saturday, the Advanced Concealed Carry class. And on the, let's see, two weekends after that, the 6th and 7th, will be the Designated Rifleman class. And that will be held here in the Sholo area. And we've got a couple other things coming up. We've got some private training coming up at the end of the month. Middle of May, we'll have, end of this month, will be the private training. Up in northern Arizona, and then on where am I at here? Middle of the month, May, we'll have some training going on with a group down in the Tucson area, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, June will bring the Personal Defense Handgun 3 up in Washington the weekend after the Expo. The Expo will be 17th, 18th, and 19th. The class will be the weekend immediately following that, and it is the 24th, 25th, and 26th. A little bit of discussion on Facebook about the class, and someone said it was expensive but well worth it. Expensive is kind of, I guess, a relative term. Of course, when you're living Friday to Friday and having a hard time getting by, then the tuition for the class is a little bit steep. But if you're looking for professional training, and you look around at some of these other places, you can go and pay anywhere from one place is $1,000 for a two-day class and $2,000 for a four-day class. Another one is $1,250 for a five-day class that does not include a night shoot. And you have to go to them. Pay the travel, pay the lodging, pay the food, pay everything. And plus the time off, from your family or whatever while you're gone. This class I am bringing to you. I take it up there. And, of course, even when we do these up there, we sometimes still have people travel for quite a while to get there. But if let's say someone was coming from northern Idaho, so then they're only going to be traveling what, maybe 200 or 300 miles instead of 1200 miles to get the same class. So there's a little bit of difference there. And of course we bring everything to you. And that makes it substantially cheaper for most folks there. Okay, let's see. Boy, Katie Brad's looking to open up a box of worms there, or maybe a can of worms. Asking what an acceptable rifle scope. That's a wide open question. All right, where do we start here? We've got let's go to California right now, and. They are bound and determined. Now, let me tell you something here. Elections coming up. Primaries coming up. New York was, I think, today. Today or yesterday. I think it was today. And Hillary and Trump won it. No big surprise. If Hillary or Bernie Sanders, either one, gets in there, if the establishment hates Trump so bad, if they find him to be such a threat to their way of doing business that they muddy up the waters so bad to make it impossible for him to legitimately win, and if Hillary or Sanders gets in there, it's game on, folks. Freedom as you know it will be escorted to the door. And you can bet that revolution is going to be right around the corner. And I think it's safe to say that everything that we've talked about and everything that we've prepared for and discussed over the last few years will be coming to pass if that were to happen. So, they're making it as difficult as they can, and guns is a big deal. If Sanders or Clinton, either one, gets in there, this is going to be, I can say on the one hand, I'll say, well, you can kiss your guns goodbye. And of course, everybody's going to jump in there and say, they ain't getting my guns, and I'll give them bullets first, and blah, yeah, let's shut up. We've had chance after chance after chance. They've been threatened, they've been taken, they've come door to door, in some places actually confiscated guns, they keep, and nothing has ever happened. So why should anybody expect that this will be any different? Instead of standing up for what you believe in, you put bullet buttons on your AR so it makes them legal. Instead of standing up for the type of stock that you want, you put a thumb hole in it to get around the law. If we have a 15 round or higher magazine ban, then you get 12 round magazines and think that you've gotten around this somehow. Instead of just standing up for your freedom. This, and I don't mean you, anybody in particular out there. But we always find ways to compromise and think that we have done something great, when all we've done is compromise. Now, I tell you, folks in Washington will show you how not to compromise by going out there and saying, we will not comply. We will not take our guns to a dealer and do transfers for private sales. We're just not going to do it. And they didn't. Not only did they not do it, but they committed 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 felonies in one day. I was there. I saw it happen. So, this gun thing is going absolutely crazy here. As a matter of fact, in California, of all places, there's a bill, and I don't know what the status of it is today, on April 20th, but on April 19th, yesterday, a bill that could, for all intents and purposes, ban all FFLs from doing business. It went before, I guess, the State Assembly Committee. Now, I don't think it'll pass this time. It might. But keep an eye out for Assembly Bill 2459, sponsored by Kevin McCarthy, Democrat. Can you imagine that? Out of Sacramento. If it's passed, there's going to be four things happen to FFLs in California. You folks are going to have to figure out how to get your state back. You say, I'm not going to leave. This is my state. Well, if you're not going to leave, then you need to get squared away here. The four things that's going to happen if this passes. Now, it may pass, a watered-down version of it may pass also. You know, we understand that. But if it passes the way it's written, here's what's going to happen to FFLs. A prohibition on licensee business premises being on residential property. This means you're not going to get an FFL work out of your garage anymore. You're not going to have it at your house. You're not going to have the luxury of being able to run your household or run another business out of a household and do your FFL on business on the side. Or do it just, you know, on weekends. You say, well, I've got a good job, but I'd like to sell guns and be able to give people good deals on weekends. So I'll just set aside one room in my house and make it my little gun shop. And you know, you're not going to be able to do that if this passes. They made it very clear that counties or cities or, you know, any lower political subdivision here or whatever you call it, they're free to do whatever they want. They can impose more restrictive requirements on the FFLs than those that are already imposed by state law. So the state can make it pretty tough, and the cities can say, well, I'll tell you what, we're not going to allow gun shops to have more than one bolt-action rifle, one lever-action rifle, one pump shotgun, and one revolver at any one time in their shop. We're not going to allow them to have more than 10 boxes of ammunition of 5 different calibers at any one time in their shop. We're going to make them put, as a matter of fact, number 3 already covers what I was about to say, so I won't say that. We'll just go to number 3 here in just a minute. But you understand what I'm saying, right? They can do whatever they want. They have no restrictions above and beyond what is already mandated by the state. Here's what I was about to say. I was going to say, well, the city can say, well, you're going to have surveillance of all manner here to keep track of everything that goes on in your shop. But number 3 already covers that. This is a requirement that FFLs have full color video surveillance that is of sufficient quality to provide for facial recognition and records all firearms transactions on the premises. All locations where firearms and ammunition are stored, the immediate exterior of the licensed premises, and all parking facilities owned by the FFL. The video equipment would be required to run during all business hours and be set to begin recording when motion is detected at all other times. The FFL would have to certify to having compliant video equipment at least yearly and make any needed repairs to the equipment within 15 days of any damage. The footage would need to be stored on the premises for at least 5 years, and that could be extended if the footage may be part of a law enforcement investigation. FFLs would also be required to post a prominent sign indicating that their customers are being recorded. Now, how expensive is that going to be for the little shop? Hey, Prairie Ghost just coming. Outstanding. Good to see you, brother. So how expensive is that going to be, and what's it going to do to small gun shop owners? It's going to kill them. They're going to be dead. They're not going to be able to do it. Number 4, all FFLs would be required to have a liability policy of a minimum of $1 million per incident to cover liability arising from theft, sale, lease, or transfer, or offering for sale, lease, or transfer of any firearm or ammunition, or any other operations of the business or business premises. Now, I'll have to say, that's not a bad idea anyway. But I'll also say there's a whole hell of a bunch of small dealers that operate out of their garage that don't have that. Certainly, it's a great idea, and $1 million worth of insurance is not terribly expensive. But when you've got a guy that's just doing this weekends out of his garage, or maybe he doesn't even do it on weekends. He just does a special order. Hey, Ralph, I want you to order me a Remington 870. I'll be over here sometime next week. Pick it up. All right, I'll be here. I'll have it here by Friday. Come on in Saturday morning. We'll take care of you. And that's the extent of their business dealings. And FFL only costs $200, so it's not out of reason to do something like that. You can make that back. You sell, half a dozen, 10 guns maybe, and you'll get that back, and it doesn't expire for 3 years, so it's a money-making deal. And you give your friends a good deal, but if you have to do all this other crap right here, then it's out. That's going to make the cost of a $500 lever action rifle go up to about $800 by the time somebody covers, has to do all of this crap. So out of these, this would eliminate people from working out of their homes, even though an FFL who sells a gun from his home still has to do the background check. I mean, that doesn't change anything, so why would that be part of it? They don't understand. They don't get it. But the number three is going to kill everybody. There's very few dealers out there that have that quality of surveillance. There's lots of them. We had full surveillance, video surveillance when I had my store. Was it good enough quality? It was not color. It was plenty clear enough to see everything that was going on, but it was not good enough for facial recognition. So I would have had to change a whole lot. It cost me quite a bit to put that in there to start with. So that's what's coming up with in California. Now, of course, we know what happens in California doesn't necessarily always stay in California. Sometimes we have it spreads like a cancer. So if that's catches on there, it may spread to other places. So I'm going to be back in a few minutes, so stay tuned. My name is John Q. Public, and I'm a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. a dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, light in the air. Only them heels that is waiting for me
there. All right, sorry we had a little bit of dead air there for a minute or two. The dogs went nuts, and then Amy wasn't here, so I had to go out and see what was going on, see if I could shoot a coyote or something. So, anyway, I'm back. Wasn't too bad. The peanut rider or mountain shooter, you know, I know what you're saying, because as much as I despise California, its politics, and a whole lot of the people, and I've said this before, it is probably the greatest state in the nation, maybe the greatest area in the world to enjoy so many different types of country, geography. The hell, what am I looking for? Anyway, terrain. You've got the most beautiful mountains and lakes and stuff, probably in the nation, maybe on the planet, up at Mount Shasta, Shasta Lake. Absolutely unbelievable country. You've got the deserts and the high deserts and the tropical regions on the coast there. It's got everything except common sense. California is too dangerous to live in. Not only physically, but I mean, from bad guys that are well armed and good guys are not.
but from for getting thrown in jail for having conflicts with law enforcement all the time because you've done something, you'd breaking a law that you didn't even know existed. If it wasn't for that, California'd be a damn fine place. That's exactly why people flocked to it, well, that and the gold, back in the mid-1800s. It's a hell of a great place. Logging, mining, petroleum. It's got everything in California. Retards. That too. So, it's, it wasn't for that. But I understand also that, you can only hang on for so long. Peanut Rider, we'd be glad to see you, or Mountain Shooter, or Peanut Rider too, as far as that goes. We would be glad to see you, add to our ranks here in Arizona. I'm going to weigh in real quick on, a question that maybe was not any of my business here. But somebody asked, Katie Brad a while ago asked about scopes. And I'm going to, I've probably told you this before, sometime back. I would never talk anybody out of, a $800 or $1,000 or $5,000 scope if you've got the money for it. But I will also say that I have run Simmons and Tascos and stuff, the new Simmons. Simmons and Tasco both about, what would have been, for Tasco it would have started improving late 70s. Simmons was a little later than that, probably, not much later, maybe 10 years later, 80s maybe. But since then, I'll have to say that I've run some of those for years, for 20, 25, 30 years. And they're still working fine. They've been on airplane rides and up and down mountains and horseback rides and everything else, and they're fine. Are they as clear and perfect as a Zeiss? No, probably not. Are they $1,500? No, more like $150. And if you drop one and tear it up, so what? Tasco still has a lifetime warranty. If you break it and tear it up, they'll get you another one. Katie Brad, the Tasco, the Varmint is good. The world-class Tasco, to me, for the money, is as good as it gets. The newer Simmons, Simmons was made by the same people that made Redfields for a long time, and that was Meade Precision. The only difference was both of them were made in China, and the Redfields were put together in China by Meade Precision using parts and everything from America, and the Simmons were put together with Chinese parts and Chinese labor. But I've still got a Simmons on one of my 308s that has been through hell. It's probably had it's probably had 2,000, 2,500 rounds put through that gun. I've never touched it, guys. I have never sighted it, re-sighted it in, or nothing. And it's still a tack driver. Like I said, I would never talk anybody out of getting the more expensive scopes if you've got the money to do it. But I don't want somebody to tell you, oh, that Tasco is junk, that Simmons is junk. They're not. They've got good warranties, and there's just nothing wrong with them. I have two Tascos still, and use them. Matter of fact, I'm looking at one of them right now, right here on the. I've got it on a little Marlin Model 60 with it's a stainless steel gun with a laminated stock. It's an NRA 125th anniversary version, and it has a scope on it. Let me look at the date. I think it's Hang on a minute, because I've still got the sticker on it from the NRA National Silhouette Championships in 1992. I bought that scope probably a year, maybe 2 years. So about 1990, 91 probably is when I got that scope. So how many years is that? If 91, sorry, I'm going to have to cheat here. This is 2016. Okay, that's 25 years, folks. I probably paid, I don't even think it's a world class. Let me look at it here again. It is, no, it's not even a world class. I would say that it's a pronghorn. Tasco 3 to 9 by 40. Still got my my number from shooting in the championships. Of course, it was on a Thompson Center contender when I used it then, but it's still perfect. So spend all the money you want. I would draw a line somewhere though between some of the ones that are Chinese made and Chinese companies. Sometimes you may run into it, a lot of times you'll run into problems with those. But, of course, most of us don't like buying things made in China, no matter who owns the company. But it has become increasingly difficult not to. Not that you can't if you look around enough. But you know, a lot of your knife manufacturers and everything else are making stuff in China. So, I was looking at what Doc's writing here. Vortex does make some nice scopes. There's not a thing in the world with them. A good middle of the road. You want to spend a little more money and stay away from the high dollar scopes. Weaver still makes a damn fine scope. I've got a Weaver on my 7.62 by 39 bolt action, my little CZ. It's got a Weaver on it, and it's been on that gun since I got the gun, and that was 10 years ago. Wow, it's been that long, 2006, 2016. It has 10 cotton-picking years. Wow. And haven't touched it. Sighted it in. It's a great, really, really nice little scope. And so anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there for you, and don't let anybody talk you out of if money is an issue, and there's a lot of perfectly good scopes out there that will do a good job for you for under $200. There's a few of them that's probably under $100. When I was buying that, you could buy a 4-power pronghorn Tasco for what were they, like $29.95, and they still had the same lifetime warranty and they worked just as good as any of the rest of them. But if you're going to go with Tasco, the world class Tasco is the one to look at. And Weaver's is Goat Mog. If Redfield is made on the same assembly line as Leopold, that's probably something recent, because they were made by Mead Precision for quite a while, and Leopold was making their own. So I don't know now what that is. But the only scopes that I've ever sent back to the factory that had a problem was a Redfield, and that was years and years ago. I finally did get it back. I still have it today. That is not true. I sent one that was it was a Thompson Center scope with an illuminated reticle. I sent it back twice. I had it on a 4570 contender, a 14-inch, no, a 12-inch. I had it on a 12-inch 4570. And, no, it was a 14-inch, it was. And, it just, that 4570 just kept screaming that scope. And mostly the illumination part of it, just wiped it out. Finally, I said, you know what? Don't even bother sending it back. Send me one without the illuminated reticle. I said, I don't care what the price difference is. I know it's going to be cheaper, and I don't even want to just send me another one. And I kept it for a long time. It was a good scope. I didn't have any problem with it. But that 45-70 on a handgun is a little bit tough on scopes. But it was a shooting son of a gun, I can tell you that. I killed a little whitetail at 145 yards with it. I killed a antelope. No, that wasn't a 45-70. I killed, I don't know, one, two, probably half a dozen deer maybe with that 45-70. It was a lot of fun. But it was not for the weak of heart, I can tell you that. It was exciting. Remember yesterday we talked about prairie ghosts? This might interest you if you're still with us. Yesterday we talked quite a bit about officer safety and some of the things that cops do with guns. Well, it just so happens we've got a brand new story out. Of course, this happens almost daily of something like this. This was in, let's see, what town was this? Anyway, it don't matter. There was an officer in there that dry-fired an unloaded weapon, his service weapon, handgun, at the head of another officer during the roll call. It appears like the like it was under orders from a sergeant as part of a training exercise. The people that told on him said a sergeant later told officers in the room that they had secretly ordered this guy to unload his gun and then pretend to fire on his colleague as a training exercise on situational awareness. The officer then pulled the trigger and pulled the trigger while pointing it at him, and it clicked. And, well, the guy that told him to do it and the one that did it are both now on administrative leave, or been placed on administrative duties anyway, until they could get this sorted out. What kind of a moron would follow orders like that? It's not funny. It's not. It is so easy. We've talked about dry firing, dry practice, you know, so many times. And do a search on some of the accidents that have happened, not only with cops but with everybody. Blue guns are made just for that. That's right. You could even take a blue gun and paint it black if you're really trying to get the point across. Or, there's been so many accidents from people that didn't unload it properly, or you know, how many times have you heard of someone clearing the chamber and then taking the magazine out of the gun? That has happened, I have no idea how many thousand, maybe tens of thousands of times. I don't have any idea. But there's been many a person killed, and many of them wounded, and many of TVs and refrigerators and windows and microwaves shot when they thought that it was unloaded. Now, I don't know what kind of double-checking and double-checking they did for this guy, but it was still stupid. Now, he was doing a situational awareness deal there. What would have happened? Apparently, it said that he secretly told this cop, told him that they were going to do this. What would have happened if there would have been a cop that was actually awake and paying attention in that ready room? And said, "Oh my God! He's pointing a gun at that guy," and jumped up and shot him. Okay, I passed the situational awareness test because that looks like he's going to shoot him, so I shot him back. Shot him before he had a chance. So the whole damn bunch of them sat there and watched him do it. not knowing what was going on. If long slide, you're a good man for admitting that. I'm glad that you do. I'm glad that you did, because believe me, there's other people on the chat room right now and people that's going to listen to this podcast that have done the same thing and haven't been man enough to admit it. But good job. It has happened to many people. But back to this story. What would have happened if somebody would have jumped up and shot you? Oh, no, wait. It was just a test. Oh, damn. It was just a test. I didn't. Oh, boy, I'm going to be in so much trouble now. Oh, well. All right. Well, anyway, one of those things. I will say that there are some exercises in very advanced training where checks and double checks and extra precautions and several people are involved, that where real guns are used, and it's been by some of the most highly trained high-speed, low-drag ninja warriors in the whole world. And they do it frequently. But that's a whole lot different than a couple of cops. Now, obviously, apparently the whole room full of them there were not tip-top situationally aware of what's going on. Or somebody would have tackled that guy or shot him before he ever pulled the trigger. So I think that was not only from the safety aspect of having that possibly being loaded, but from the aspect of if other guys would have been paying attention there, it might have turned into a bad deal. All right, let's move on here. Let's get another story or two in here before we got to go. There's a this is kind of an interesting story. Maybe not interesting is the right word. Maybe stupid is the right word. It's not a whole lot better than the last story as far as common sense goes. But there's been a Playboy playmate, good-looking little heifer, has been fighting with the New York Police Department for some time to try to get her CCW and protect herself. A lot of things in her past has kind of made, I guess not the least of which is she sued and won for excessive force, I think, $1.2 million sometime back. She was a playmate in 1992. And so that may have had something to do with it, but it's taken some time. It's taken 3 or 4 years, I guess, to get her CCW. But anyway, she finally won the battle and got it. And what does she do? She goes down and buys a Desert Eagle chambered in 50 Action Express. Now, I don't know how many of you have shot one of those. I don't know how many of you even big enough to carry one of them. That is a whole handful of handgun. They're huge. They're 4.5 pounds. If you carry an extra magazine for it, then you're carrying 5 pounds of artillery. Now, she's not carrying it, actually. She got the CCW, and I guess it's not for her to carry. It was, the license was to have it in her home, which you have to do in New York. So, they don't make purses big enough to carry a 50 action spread. They call them suitcases. They don't make purses that size. But now, aside from the, maybe it's not stupidity, maybe it's just ignorance. Nobody has told her. Nobody has. She hasn't got any training. She says, "Well, that's a you know, that's the biggest gun I can find, so obviously that's going to be the best. Not knowing that that 50 Action Express, if you miss, or even if you don't miss, it's going to go through the bad guy, and two or three houses down the road, and a couple of refrigerators, and maybe a Volkswagen, and ain't no telling who all it's going to kill, you know, between here and there. The 9mm, you know, 40, 45, 357, 38, there's any number of 32, any number of smaller guns would probably be more than enough for her. But that 50, she touches that thing off a time or two down at the range, I'm sure she's going to rethink her choice there. Let's see here. All right. Well, we're getting pretty close. And hold on a minute. All right. There we go. The long slide, I wouldn't trade anything. I have no desire whatsoever for a 50 Action Express. If somebody just wanted to give me one and I didn't have to spend a dime for it, I'd play with it. I guess I'd just get a couple of boxes of ammunition. Of course, I'd have to go down and get a payday loan on my truck to get a couple of boxes of ammo for it. But I'd put it, maybe I'd just store it away somewhere and trade it for a tractor after the poop hits the fan or something. But I have no use for it. If I was going to get something like that, I would get either a 460 Smith & Wesson in a revolver if I wanted something for the 44 does fine for elk. I see no need for that 460. I see no need for the 500 Smith & Wesson. But if I wanted something that kind of diameter, you know, that kind of horsepower, I would get the 460 or the 500 Smith & Wesson. But common sense tells me that the 44 Magnum with 320 grain wide flat nose hard cast bullets with gas checks running about 1300 feet a second is all the elk medicine you need. They do just fine. Been there, done that. And it works fine. So, with all that being said here, I've got a couple of little chores I need to take care of here right away. So I'm going to go ahead and close on out of here. Both of us will be on. Amy and I will both be on tomorrow. Amy will be on at 7 Pacific, and I'll be on 8 right after her. She will not be on Friday. Liberty Lounge should be on as normal. If you like classic country music, do not miss Liberty Lounge Friday night. 2 hours of the best classic country in the world. And then starting this coming Monday are going to be pre-records for Amy. Current shows. But good night, Prairie Ghost, and thanks for tuning in here with us tonight. I appreciate it. Current shows for Amy, and I'm going to do some pre-records also on Mondays. They'll be current, fresh, new, just not live. So, all right. With all that being said, I'm out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. Been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio.
Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network. And I thanked him as I was leaving.